This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. An elderly person gets a phone call from a guy who says, "Hi, this is your favorite grandson. He says he's been arrested and he's in jail in Montreal. Please send me $5,000 for bail," he pleads, "and please don't tell mom." Well, the concerned grandparent wires the money to an address in Canada to find out later that it wasn't the grandson at all. It was a con artist, and they've just been suckered out of $5,000. People across the country have been victimized by these scams and dozens of others like them that bilk people out of anywhere from $300 to as much as $150,000. We'll be speaking to a couple of experts in a moment and to someone whose family has been victimized. And we want to hear from those of you who've been scammed and from any among you who might have been a con artist. Give us a call. Tell us your story. 800-989-8255 is our phone number. The email address is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, revising personal history by Photoshop. But first, the latest generation of scams, and we begin with Allison Pressler. She's a spokesperson for the Better Business Bureau and joins us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And is that granny scam really that simple?
You know, it really is that simple, and anyone who has become a victim of it, you're not alone. I know when people get scammed and lose large amounts of money, they're too embarrassed to come forward and tell someone. But we've heard of people from, you know, California to New Hampshire who've fallen victim to this and points in between. So if you see a scam happening in Idaho and Hawaii, then it's happening everywhere. And we actually, it was just only within a few months ago that we really saw a spike in these complaints. In fact, a woman in Wisconsin lost upwards of $15,000 to this scam. She thought that her grandson was stuck in Canada, had gotten in an accident, and they initially asked for $5,000, and she sent that. And then they asked for another $5,000, and she sent that, until ultimately she sent a total of $15,000 to these scammers.
And Canada, is that a link here?
Well, Canada is a huge concern. Often people are scared of Nigeria and are very savvy to the thought of scams coming out of Nigeria. But it seems that scammers have also set up shop in Canada, and they might actually have an African link where they have now moved to Canada and are operating out of Canada, because I think we aren't as scared about our neighbors to the north and that they might be trying to rip us off. So you always want to be wary of wiring money to Canada and wiring money in general.
They call up and do they have the name of the favored grandson? How do they establish? I mean, con artists are good social engineers. They can worm this information out of you quickly.
Well, absolutely. If you call up and say, "Hey, it's me, your favorite grandson," then if the person on the other end of the line actually has a grandson, even if they can't tell the voice or recognize the voice, they might say, "Oh, is that you, Jimmy?" And then the scammer will say, "Yeah, it's me. Sorry if it doesn't sound like me. I've got a cold or
laryngitis
Or, you know, they're scared and upset because they're in Canada and maybe it doesn't sound like them. So they can come up with excuses. And many people have gotten these calls and ultimately didn't fall for it because they realized it really wasn't their grandchild on the other end of the line.
And hopefully some people would then, despite what the plea is, call mom or dad and check to make sure that this is in fact happening.
Right. And I think you hit on how the scammers got past that, is that they said, "Oh, grandma, don't tell my parents. I'm going to get in so much trouble." Mm-hmm. And the grandparent thinks that, you know, "All right, I'm going to work with you. You know, you're my grandchild. I'm going to help you out." And they don't necessarily think to confirm that the kid is actually safe and in their dorm room rather than in a jail cell.
And we often think of con games as working on the victim's own greed, and the pigeon drop and other things like that do work on those bases. But this is just working on people's good nature.
Absolutely. It preys purely on your emotion and your desire to make sure that your grandchildren are safe. And some scams actually operate on a couple levels. So they might operate on an emotional level, but then also on a financial level. But you're right. This one operates purely on making sure that your family is safe.
And these kinds of scams have to evolve over time because, well, people find out about these other kinds of operations. As you said, an appeal by email from Nigeria no longer perhaps as effective as it might once have been.
Yeah. Unfortunately, scams from Nigeria can still be effective. But, you know, Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. And we've seen these same types of scams kind of reinvent themselves and reemerge. So it might have a different different face on it. So a common scam is an advance fee scam where you pay money up front for an item or a service. And what that item or service that you're paying for will change. So sometimes it's a puppy, sometimes it's a car. So ultimately the con is the same, but it has a different face on it.
Well, let's see if we can get a caller on the line. If you've been scammed, maybe if you've been a scammer, give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Adrian is with us. Adrian on the line in San Jose, California.
Hello?
Hi, Adrian. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, it happened to me. I'm a Filipino, and my mother was in the Philippines. And somebody called my mom saying that I had my boss here, and I had to be taken away by the Philippine consulate in an island. So they called my mom and said that they need the money for my health care, because I was I sustained injuries.
And she sent the money?
She sent about 40,000 pesos. And that's like $1,000.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And when did she find out?
Because there's a time difference. So she was able to call me the next morning, and I told her, and you know, I'm okay.
I hadn't heard of you of gaming the time difference. That's an interesting way to do it, Adrian.
I'm really surprised. I thought it was in the Philippines only, that it was just a scam over there, but I'm really surprised that it's happening all over.
Well, we're sorry for your mom's loss. Thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
These scams can sometimes have tragic consequences. Joining us now by phone from Auburn Hills, Michigan, is Calvin Haddad. His mother fell victim to a scam several weeks ago. Calvin, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And this is similar to the ones we've been talking about, the granny scam, or the one Adrian just called us about?
Yeah, very similar. They called and said my son was involved in a rental car accident in Canada, and they actually wanted her to bring $7,000 to Canada right away. And
She lived in Detroit or in Michigan, so
yeah,
not that far away.
Right. Yeah. So in her haste to kind of she had a number of episodes this year of congestive heart failure, and was actually had been out of the hospital for a couple of months, was feeling pretty good. But in her haste to kind of rush around and hadn't driven in several months, but to get ready and go to the bank and get the money, she started to have a episode come on. So she actually called my son, who was less than a mile away, substitute teaching at a local high school. And, of course, he said he wasn't involved in any accident and he wasn't in Canada. And he came over right away, and by the time he got there, she was experiencing shortness of breath. And so they called the police and called the EMS, and a week later she ended up passing away from the whole thing.
I'm so sorry for your loss. She did not end up sending the money in this case, so it wasn't compounded, but nevertheless, that's an awful thing to happen. And when elderly people are the victims, I guess in some ways it might be expected. That's some of the heartlessness of this.
Yeah, I mean, when they prey on elderly people like that, you don't know what the condition of their, you know, their health condition is, and could bring on a heart attack, or with her, it brought on another episode of congestive heart failure that contributed to her death.
Did they ever catch who did it?
No, I worked with the local police, and they were helpful as best as they could. They said that they traced the call through AT&T to Quest in Canada, but that's where the trail goes cold at that point. They think a lot of it, at least that they've seen in the Detroit area, originates out of Toronto, but they don't really have any way of taking it further than that, I guess.
And it's not because the Canadian police aren't cooperative. I'm sure that they'd be happy to. It's just that they can't trace the call any further than that.
Right.
At the end of this, your blood must be boiling.
Well, it's just a very sad. She was doing better. In fact, when she went in the hospital after the incident, she told me that was the day that she got the call. She was feeling the best she had felt in several months, and was thinking of going out, and it was a beautiful fall day here, and kind of mild and nice and sunny, and And then this set her back, and then just kind of spiraled into, passing away a few days later.
And sad to think of that as your, well, you know, that it happened so close to her death.
Right.
Yeah. Calvin Haddad, thank you very much for sharing your story. And again, we're sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Calvin Haddad joined us by phone from Auburn Hills in Michigan. And Allison Presler, who's with us from the Better Business Bureau, obviously that's an unusual outcome for this. But is it unusual for these scammers not to be caught?
You know, I'm not an expert necessarily on law enforcement on this, but these guys, they set up shop and they work their con for a few weeks and then they close up shop and they move on again. Particularly on the internet, it's very hard to track these guys down. And, you know, law enforcement has a lot on their plate as far as tracking down terrorists and doing other things. And so it can be extremely hard to track down these guys. You've got limited resources and they're very wily. And particularly on the internet, they just exist in the ether, so to speak. And they set up a website and then they're gone. And with this scam, you know, they work their scam and then they're gone. And they work on developing another, and then they'll reemerge a little while later.
Well, we'll focus on cyber scams in just a minute. But yeah. It should not be forgotten that sometimes it comes on a phone call. Sometimes it's a knock on your door.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's a letter in the mail. You know, people are rightly wary of spam and emails and stuff like that. But scams can come over the phone. They can come under the guise of being, you know, a legitimate organization, of being, you know, the IRS. They can pretend to be anyone they want to rip you off. And they do.
If you have been approached, if you have been ripped off, if somehow you were part of one of these mobs and maybe you would like to tell us about that, give us a call, 800-989-8255. We promise we're not going to trace the call. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and these are just a few of the emails I've received over the past couple of days. This reads, I am Madam Susan Mendoza, Philippines nationality and divorcee. I would like to have a long-lasting and confident relationship with you by entrusting my lifetime fortune into your possession. This comes from Dr. David Addo. Dear sir, the government of Ghana in West Africa has received funds from the International Development Association with the loan number, and goes on to explain he's a commission agent and needs my help. And dear sir, Ray Funds Investment and Management Placement, we are facilitating for a private investor who wants to invest his financial estate in long-term business venture in your country company under your supervision. You will be required to. It goes on. This is my favorite. Dear PayPal user, we limit your PayPal account to keep you safe, and PayPal, we prefer you to download our safe tool to keep your safe from viruses and Trojans. Please click on the link below to download our tool. Not even with any of the great graphics that some of these come to, just plain text. We're talking about scams, whether they are the granny scam we've been talking about that can happen on the phone, or cyber scams. With us is Allison Presler from the Better Business Bureau, and let me introduce here with us also in Studio 3A, Chris Painter. He's the Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI Cyber Division. Chris, thanks very much for you being with us today.
Very happy to be here.
And these emails are hardly unusual.
They're hardly unusual. Actually, those, however, you noted that each of those had little flaws in them, so you could probably tell they're frauds. What we've seen, though, is that the fraudsters are much better than that. Their tradecraft is much better, so that they craft emails and they craft websites, frankly, that look very real and sucker people in, even if they're being cautious.
Some of the PayPal emails you get, they look exactly like the PayPal. I mean, they're absolute mirrors.
I mean, I think we've seen over the span of the last 10 years the banking phishing emails, which are essentially emails where you click on a link and it takes you to a website that looks like the bank's website. Have gone from ones that didn't really look all that much like them to ones that look almost exactly like them. And an interesting recent fraud, the emails are coming from a variety of sources, including one recently which purported to be from the deputy director of the FBI, saying, you know, you have won a certain amount of money, you're entitled to this money, please send, it's one of these advanced fee schemes you heard about, please send a little bit of money so you can secure this much greater amount of money. And, of course, it's a fraud.
Of course it's a fraud. Well, if you've been scammed, if you're a scammer, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Sam is on the line. Sam calling from Saluda in North Carolina.
Yes, hi. Hi. A great show. Listen, my wife actually was scammed, and I'm a computer guy, and it was really interesting to kind of unravel the story. I was telling the person I called to that, you know, what the bank told us who the thieves were, and I'd just really rather not say it on the air, but they were a high-profile group that somehow hacked into one of her accounts, and $4,000 was gone, and transferred through this fellow in New York who said he had no idea what was going on. But
hacking
the play on your vulnerability, basically.
And the vulnerability here, Sam, was that they were able to hack your account, or was there some con involved here?
No, they hacked the account. They got through it for some reason. They weren't the reality twisters, you know, that looked like, you know, and that. But somehow they got into it, and I never figured out how. It was a brilliant thing how they got in there. I don't have any idea. And I'm pretty good at that stuff.
They can go into, they can Google you and find out incredible amounts of information about you. Isn't that right, Chris Payton?
Not only that, what they are is they're smarter at the lower levels of the computer, which is, you know, where you can slip in and where most people aren't aware of what's going on. That's the trouble.
Chris?
Well, and I can tell you a couple things they do. One, they could do that front end where they're trying to get your trust, the social engineering we heard about a little earlier, where they send you an email and they ask you to click on a link or download a particular file. And that file has what we call malware. It has a computer virus or computer Trojan that then infects your system and allows them to do everything from putting essentially a program that's a wiretap that allows them to capture everything about you and your account information and your correspondence and use it for a scam like this, to hacking into systems, and very sophisticated hackers who I think have now more and more merged with the fraudsters, and, you know, get access to your accounts, get access to your money. We've had, for instance, one sophisticated scam recently where people were hacking into brokerage accounts, then using those brokerage accounts to pump up the value of certain penny stocks. So it was a hack, pump, and dump type scheme.
Sam, we're sorry for your loss.
I got in trouble many years ago. I was working with a bank that will remain unnamed, but as a computer guy, and I hacked into one of the things, not meaning any harm. But they're bright people, and they're good people, and bright people, and good people, and good people, you know, and you just have to keep the two apart, that's all.
Sam, thanks very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here's an email from Roger in Charlotte, North Carolina. The granny scam happened to my mother several years ago. The con artist called my mother and said, "Hi, Grandma, it's your favorite grandson. Mom says, Mark, is that you?" "Yes." "Well, my mother was conned out of $1,000. The premise was he lost his wallet, was at a medical convention. My son is a doctor and needed money. Well, you can imagine my frustration when my mother told me Mark had called her for money. Well, I was just trying to be a good grandmother. The nerve of the con artist was that he called back the next day to thank her." Allison Presley, some of these things can be combined, even on the granny scam. They can try to, through Google or other kinds of information, try to find out information about you so that this scam becomes more credible.
Absolutely. There's tons of information out there about us. But I think often they kind of leave those open-ended questions or those questions for us to fill in the blank and to help them work their con. They can try to con hundreds of thousands of people before they find one person where everything clicks and where they can actually work it and rip them off. So the planets have to align sometimes for the scammers really to get paid in the end, and they have to try a lot.
Let's go to Timothy. Timothy with us from Birmingham, North Alabama.
Hello. I had an interesting, very bizarre, not exactly my granny, but I was organist in a large, a small but very prestigious church in L.A., and the board was comprised mostly of older women, but very sophisticated women holding high positions in many capacities. They liked me very much. They liked my Southern accent. They loved my music, and they knew my voice well, and I came in one Sunday to play. Long story short, was called into the board a board meeting after church, thinking I was going to get a wonderful raise. I went in to find very somber-looking people and be asked why I had called one after another of these people the day before, saying I was stuck in San Bernardino, my car had broken down, and I needed money wired to a specific location so that I could get the car repaired, stay overnight, etc. Several of these women were scammed by a caller identifying himself as Timothy Wilson. They knew my voice well. I socialized with some of these people with some frequency, spoke with them after church often. They knew my voice. So how this person, and these, as I say, these were not, you know, befuddled grannies. One of them is a talk show hostess of a very big radio program.
Talk show hosts are incredibly vulnerable. Yes. We are so gullible.
This one wouldn't be, I wouldn't suspect, and of course with no voice as well. Anyway, they called in they'd been talked into it, and even given out numbers. Now, this church was, I don't care to identify the church, but it is not one that publishes a directory as many do today, and so the information for the members is kept, you just don't get access to it.
Obviously somebody got access to it. But let me ask you, Allison Pressler, intelligence, social status, none of that is going to protect you.
Oh, absolutely not. That's definitely not going to protect you all the time because these scammers are savvy. And, your earlier caller talked about the vulnerability of technology. But as humans, we all have vulnerabilities, too. And in some cases, that might be the vulnerability of loving our family and wanting to make sure they're okay. Or we can get taken advantage of if we're in a rough financial situation. There's any number of ways that we can all be taken advantage of.
And Timothy, I cut you off just as you were saying, but the bizarre thing...
The bizarre thing was that he was able to even get numbers from people of other members and I didn't drive. At that time, I did not own a car, did not drive, and I thought most members were aware because my housemate often brought me to church, and they had met him, and I was suffering an illness, and anyway, that was finally resolved, and that I was, completely exonerated. However, the damage done was that I was called in a couple or 3 months later. There was silence kept about the whole deal. No one spoke to me. Suddenly, no one had anything to do with me. And then I was called in and told, that I was being let go. My contract was that either on either side we could without cause.
Mm-hmm.
So
this can have bad effects even when you're completely innocent.
Well, I was devastated because I didn't have legal resources to pursue anything. I was very ill. I got much sicker, and without going into detail about the illness, it was a very life and death situation, basically. And I was so very, very ill. And the policeman who called me told me, if you're lying to me, the first call I got from the detective was, if you're lying to me, I will come after you like a big dog.
Yeah. Timothy, it was, we're glad you're feeling better.
And things are, yeah, it was, but there it is. Thank you for allowing me to be on the show, and everyone take care.
Yep. Thanks very much. And let me ask you, Chris Painter, you're in the cyber division of the FBI. I wouldn't quite qualify here, but nevertheless, cops are often skeptical about these sort of things.
Well, no, I think more and more they're attuned to some of the frauds that are out there. And one of the things that we've been doing, one of the things, particularly the FBI, but I think all law enforcement is trying to do, is not just be reactive to these crimes, but also find a way to disrupt them and to be on the preventative end of them and really look at what the threat they pose to people are and see if we can get inside some of these organizations and break them up. I mean, recently we had we focused on a case where we actually did what's called an undercover operation, where we got inside one of the organizations that was trading all these credit cards that they'd stolen through some of these phishing and other scams online, and actually took it over. And then we're able to target members, not just in this country, but really around the world. Because with cyber, with some of these cyber scams, they have no boundaries. There's no national boundaries. There's no state boundaries. And these guys are endlessly clever.
Well, you've got to focus on those scams that target those talk show hosts. Those are the most dangerous ones. Sue in Boise, Idaho emailed, my mom just missed being scammed on this appeal. Grandson in jail when two alert clerks at Walmart had her call me, a mother of the child who was supposedly calling her to ask for bail money, to see if her grandchild was in Boise, where he lives, or in jail in Vancouver, B.C. She'd gone to the Walmart to wire the money. The clerks suspected a scam. Mom was lucky. And again, good advice, make the phone call, no matter what they say on the phone. This from Julie in Mason, Michigan. My grandmother routinely gets calls from people asking for her bank account number. She's in her 80s, and she puts on her best grandma voice and tells the person on the line to hold, and she'll look for it. She sets the phone down, picks up her book, and finishes her chapter. She'll check the phone again. If the person's still there, she'll tell them she's still looking for the number and continue reading her book. Eventually, they give up. Well, if you've been scammed, if you are a scammer, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. We're talking with Allison Pressler of the Better Business Bureau and with Chris Painter, Deputy Assistant Director of the Cyber Division of the FBI. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get Jacqueline on the line. Jacqueline with us from Battleground in Washington.
Hi. We advertised on Craigslist about our classes where people come and stay on our farm. And the cost is a few $100, and yet I had two people who sent cashier checks for $3,000. And the first story was that this couple had just gotten married. They wanted to honeymoon on the farm, taking classes. I don't know why. And the husband's boss was going to be paying for it. And the second one was a doctor who was coming from Montreal who was going to be coming down to Portland for a seminar and wanted to stay for a week. The thing about it was I could tell the English kind of lacked a knowledge of the vernacular. But what was most interesting to me was I had just heard on NPR's This American Life the story about scams just a few weeks ago, and it made me more suspicious when the story had a complication to it.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, both of our guests, as soon as you said cashier's checks, they started nodding in agreement. Allison?
I don't necessarily know exactly what scam that was, but it almost sounds like an overpayment scam or check fraud, which is a huge problem. This is where you think you've received a legitimate check, and you will then cash the check, and the money will actually appear in your bank account. But eventually, the check's going to be found out to be counterfeit, and you're going to be out whatever money you spent based on that check. And then typically, the scammer has also asked you to wire money back to them. And so you're also out the money that you wired the scammer. And that sort of scam has many, many different variations on it. Similar to the advance fee scam, check fraud, these types of scams are used under the guise of many, many different things.
And Jacqueline, did any of those things happen?
Oh, of course not. Since I just heard that scam story, I was really, my hackles were kind of, my antenna were up.
Well, good for you, Jan.
Okay, so make the phone call.
What I did was I sent copies of it both to the FTC, and they gave me a number, and they did a little investigation on it.
Well, so listen to public radio and call your grandson. Those are the two things we're learning here today.
You know, they did tell me something at the FTC when I talked to the person there. He said, you know, just take those checks in and show them to your local bank, just so they know what they look like.
Okay.
Well, they look very good, unfortunately. They look very, very good these days.
They were practically identical. The scale was a little different on them, but they were, you know, it's obvious it was from the same thing, even though the stories were totally different.
Jacqueline, thanks very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we get one more caller in. This is Leonard. Leonard with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, Leonard.
So the same thing happened to me, but at my work. I work for a private upscale hotel. And one night we got a phone call from one of the employees that was one of the banquet managers. And he said he was calling from Canada, that he had gotten mugged. And the weird thing is that it sounded exactly like him. But just something seemed so off about it. But I called my manager. I'm like, you know, this person's on the phone saying he got mugged and he's needing money. He's at the ticket counter and in the airport. And we need to Western Union him, like, it was something like $400 or $500. And my manager thought about it for a second. He goes, well, okay, that's fine. And so I was actually about to go to Western Union, and the guy was on the phone this whole time. And then finally my manager calls back. He goes, no, I just talked to the employee, and he doesn't know what we're talking about. He's actually at home reading a book.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, oh, my goodness. And so I went back on the phone, and for some reason my manager just didn't want me to let him know that we knew it was a scam. And so I just told him no, and when I told him no, he got really whiny and complaining. He was like, why? You're just about to do it. And I'm like, no. He goes, well, then can you do it? Can you wire me some money? And I was like, no, and I just hung up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was just kind of interesting. I always thought that I would be able to recognize things like that, but I almost fell for it, which was kind of funny.
Well, as Allison says, they're really good, and the fact of the matter is, calling, checking, anything else that you would advise for people to do if they're suspicious?
In this particular scam, just call and check it out. And, you know, even though the kid told you not to call the parents, you know, go ahead and do it. So the kid's going to get in trouble. It's worth finding out.
And Chris Painter will ask you for advice on the cyber scams in just a minute, but we have to take a short break. So please stay with us. Chris Painter is the Deputy Assistant Director of the Cyber Division of the FBI. Also with us, Allison Presler, you just heard from, of the Better Business Bureau. They're both with us here in Studio 3A. We're talking about scams, new varieties on old scams, old varieties on new scams. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Cownan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Cownan in Washington. In Illinois this week, the Cook County Sheriff charged some 20 inmates for running a scam that ran up more than $50,000 in phone bills. One man outside Boston lost thousands of dollars in another scam. A caller told him he'd won a lottery overseas, and he sent what he believed was taxes on the prize money. Today, we're talking about the latest generation of scams and cons. Our guests are Allison Presler of the Better Business Bureau and Chris Painter, Deputy Assistant Director of the Cyber Division of the FBI. They're both with us here in Studio A. Chris, before we went away, you were about to tell us some advice on what to do when you start getting these emails that look tantalizing.
Well, one thing is to use the same degree of caution and skepticism as you would in the physical world. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean you should not use your ordinary common sense. Look at things skeptically. If you get an email from someone you don't know and it looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And in fact, there's a website the FBI participates in that it's called lookstoogoodtobetrue.com that has a lot of advice for consumers and also talks about a lot of the recent scams that are out there, so people can go to one place and look at some of those things. Another thing to do is, you know, don't click on a link. I mentioned this earlier. If you get an email from someone you don't know and asks you to click on a link and go to a site, don't do that. And type in the website yourself. Don't give people your credit card numbers without figuring out that this is actually a secure site for something you want to do. These are kind of common sense sorts of things that you should do. But you also have to make sure your computer is secure. I talked about these malicious codes that could be downloaded when you visit some of these sites. Make sure you have antivirus software. Make sure you have... Even if you've got a Mac, yeah. Look, Macs have more market share now. They're going to be targets, too. That's, you know, it's across the board. People, criminals are endlessly inventive, and they're looking for the money. Where the money is where they're going to go. One other thing I would comment on is I think we talked probably at the top of the hour about people being concerned that law enforcement really couldn't do a lot about some of these crimes. And I think, you know, obviously the criminals have become pretty smart at hiding their electronic and digital footprints. And that's one of the reasons we're trying to get inside these organizations in the beginning. But people should not assume because their individual loss is relatively small that this is something that we're not interested in. There is something called the Internet Crimes Complaint Center, which is set up specifically for people who are victims to go to the site ic3.gov. You go to that site and you fill in a claim form. You essentially fill in a complaint form that then is pulled with forms from all over the rest of the country. And often, even if they set up shop and close down shop, as Allison said, often they're setting up a new scheme, and you can start linking these people together and really go after them.
And find patterns like that. Allison, are there resources that you would recommend?
Well, I would absolutely recommend that if someone has become a victim of a scam, that they can file a complaint with their Better Business Bureau. We don't have the regulatory power, and we don't have, you know, all the awesome resources.
Wait a minute, I've seen your thugs on the street.
Yeah, we're pretty tough looking. But we can help raise awareness so that other people don't fall victims to these same types of scams. And then also I recommend that you do your research before you do business with a company that you're not familiar with. Check them out online at the Better Business Bureau website. You can look at their reliability report for free. And we also post alerts about scams that are happening.
Well, thanks to you both. We appreciate your time and your willingness to come in to join us here in Studio 3A today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Allison Presler of the Better Business Bureau and Chris Painter, the Deputy Assistant Director of the Cyber Division of the FBI. Coming up, we'll be talking about, revising reality with Photoshop.